Hello, I'm Janine Kovac, and I'm the author of Spinning, Choreography for Coming Home. It's a memoir about my twins who were born 3 months premature, and they spent 3 months in the newborn intensive care unit in the hospital in Berkeley, California, and how that experience helped me come to terms with the end of my career as a ballet dancer, which had ended about a decade earlier. I'm going to read from a part in the book when the twins are about a week old. They were born at about a pound and a half, a pound, 12 ounces. And at this point, they're actually losing weight. So they're not in a good place. And you need to know that they're fine now. They're 8 and a half, they're thriving, they're great. But at this point, a week old, they're not doing so well. Nana! My daughter, Kiara, greets her grandmother with the biggest hug she can manage. I have two brothers! Look! One of the boys' night nurses has made Kiara a little care package, a hospital band that reads Big Sister, a preemie diaper that looks like a miniature maxi pad, a preemie shirt, a preemie pacifier with a long nipple as narrow as a pencil, and stickers of the boys' footprints, which are scarcely bigger than my thumbprint. My mom bites her lip. She hasn't seen the boys yet. She's only heard my updates. These baby accoutrements, so much smaller than ordinary newborn baby gear, have caught her off guard, but she recovers quickly. How exciting, she says to Kiara with exaggerated cheerfulness. That night, we treat ourselves to dinner at our favorite sushi restaurant. Kiara has become somewhat of a little darling with the chef, the little blonde girl who likes raw squid. My mother isn't quite as adventurous, but she's still game. After we eat, we'll go home and put Kiara to bed. Then my husband, Matt, and I will go to the hospital to visit the boys. But on the drive to the restaurant, we get a phone call. We don't know yet that when the NICU calls and it's good news, they talk so quickly they don't even say hello. It's the NICU, your boys are fine, are you bringing any milk with you today? And when it's bad news, they talk very slowly so you can absorb it all. Hello, Mrs. Kovac. This is Dr. Barry from the NICU. Wagner had a pulmonary hemorrhage, pulmonary lungs, hemorrhage, bleeding, blood in the lungs, I realize. Matt pulls over and turns off the car and strains to listen. There's blood in the lungs of a 1 pound baby, and the doctors don't know why or how or what's going to happen. What should we do? Matt asks when I hang up. I snap into performance mode. No one will see me shake. They will only see a dancer's grace. I shrug. They say there's nothing we can do. They just wanted us to know. So we'll stick to the plan. Sushi, then put Kiara to bed, then we'll go to the hospital. It's not good for her to have her schedule interrupted. I don't tell them what I'm thinking. If we act like it's bad, then it'll be bad. But if we act like it's nothing, then it'll be nothing. At the restaurant, we were seated at our favorite table. It's the Ika girl, the hostess exclaims as she puts a bowl of edamame on the table. Kiara smiles shyly. She picks up a chopstick and pokes at the green pods. My mother pretends to read the menu. Matt's eyes dart around the restaurant. Kiara hums to herself, oblivious to the fact that her parents and her nana cannot make eye contact with each other. My throat closes and my chest tightens. My face is going to melt. I can't stay here. I get up from the table and try to walk as quickly but nonchalantly as possible to the restroom in the back, pulling my shawl around me like a protective cape. The single bathroom, equipped for wheelchair access, is a refuge, a place where I can be alone. I lean against the cool black marble sink. The spooky bathroom, Kiara calls it, because of its dim lights and black porcelain toilet. Looking at my reflection, I practice the words, I used to have a son, but he died. I rehearsed different versions. I used to have a son. I used to have a son. I used to have two sons. If I practice saying it, maybe it won't happen. It reminds me of that Tuesday, September 2001. A colleague called me at 7 o'clock in the morning, back when you could still call people on their home phones. He was freaking out. "Do you know what's happening?" he screeched. "I don't know if I can go to work today, man. Turn on your TV. New York is on fire." I had a dusty little pink television, a child's television. As soon as I clicked it on, I saw it. One smoking tower, flames coming out of the top floors. Wow, now there's only one, I thought. One tower standing there to remind us that once upon a time, there were two towers. One day I'll tell my children, there used to be two huge towers in New York. Now there's only one. As soon as I thought that, the second tower crumbled down to the bottom of my screen of my 10-inch television. I used to have a son. I used to have two sons. When we arrive at the NICU an hour later, a big beige machine is blocking the doorway of our boys' room. "Just stand out here till we're done," the nurse tells us. "We don't want to expose you to any radiation." It seems a little backwards to me. If there's anyone here who shouldn't be exposed to radiation, it's probably the little 1 pound with blood in his lungs. Dr. Barry comes up behind us and reads from her clipboard in the same nonchalant voice our waiter used to read the sashimi specials. "So far, everything looks good. There was some bleeding. That's what I called you about. We always have to call the parents when something like that happens. Just in case," her voice trails off. Neither Matt nor I ask her to elaborate. The beige machine is wheeled away. I wash my hands and open the doors to Wagner's isolette. He doesn't look like he's had a major emergency. He looks the same as yesterday. Little, sort of greenish, sort of wrinkly. "It's time to change his diaper," the nurse chirps. "Would you like to do it?" Every 4 hours, the boys get their temperature taken, their diapers are changed, and the sensor that monitors their oxygen is transferred from one ankle to the other. I'm told that if it isn't moved, the sensor can burn the skin. Some nurses put the sensors on the wrist, but our boys are too skinny, and it doesn't work as well there. Matt is too jittery to change the boys' diapers. He prefers to learn about the equipment that keeps them alive. "Did you bring any milk?" the nurse asks. "We can put some on a swab, and you can clean his mouth. The breast milk is like an antiseptic. It can prevent infections." I take out the 2-ounce bottle of breast milk that I pumped earlier. Like a chemist, I fill a dropper and add drops of thin white milk to a tiny green swab. It looks like a sponge lollipop or a mop for a miniature window washer. As soon as I put the sponge near Wagner's face, he turns toward it. "See, he can smell it. Go ahead, put it in his mouth. Watch, he'll suck on it." Wagner's eyes stay closed, but he opens his mouth. He looks like a baby bird waiting for a worm. When I put the sponge lollipop in his mouth, he sucks greedily, like a baby. I look at Matt and we both gape. Our baby is acting like a baby. Later, after I change Wagner's diaper and take his temperature, I sneak a sniff of the white cuff, the oxygen sensor. It stinks like a little league locker room or like Matt's dirty gym socks. It actually smells like stinky feet. It's vile, but victorious at the same time. There's a person inside this sack of skin, and he smells like a little boy. I have a son. I have two sons, and one of them has stinky feet.